From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, the new home of the Chicago White Sox, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and Waddle 87 on Twitter.
Day with lots of things going on.
Knew it was going to be a lot of news.
About. Yeah.
Knew there was going to be a lot of news.
All right, Loy is back in the lineup tonight, so Sox fans are going, woo!
According to Connor, he said or he tweeted that Loy will be the DH tonight, but he will be in left field tomorrow night.
So right out there, we were asking Connor, yeah. What are they going to do? Are they going to put a buzzer on him so he doesn't, you know, get close to the wall? When he gets close to the wall, you buzz him. It's worked before for other teams using a buzzer.
That's true.
So Aloy back tonight. They're in Kansas City, the White Sox, after their nice win. They needed that one last night. Lance Lynn stood tall again.
Yes.
They needed that one in Milwaukee. There are trade rumors surrounding both the Cubs and the White Sox. Javi's
not in the lineup tonight on the north side against the Reds, but he's got a heel problem, a little injury he had last night. I believe, or yesterday in the final game against the D-backs.
So Jesse will talk about that. Buster Olney on base on the Sunday night game mentioned Rizzo to the Red Sox as a possibility. So we'll keep our eye on that. Aaron Rodgers looks like he is returning to Green Bay. We've had Shefty all over that story today. The agreement is virtually done. He will give it one more run with Green Bay, then we'll get an opportunity to leave next year if that's what he desires.
His contract, he's under contract through 2023. I believe what they're reporting is that the year 2023 will be voided and that there will be language in this contract, or there'll be an understanding that he can get out of the contract next year, or that they will trade him to where he wants to go.
Yep, and before we get to your Bears list, while we have football on the brain, I want to remind you guys that tickets are going very fast. You got to get on this. The 16th annual Fantasy Football Championship presented by Miller Lite is back and in person this year. Remember, last year we did it virtually. We're back at one of our favorite spots, 115 Bourbon Street. It's in Marionette Park. And it's also brought to you by PropSwap, Hooters, Bettenhausen Automotive, and 3Chi. For just $20, you're going to get all the great information from people like Field Yates on Fantasy Football, Jeff Meller as well. You're also going to get gambling advice from Carmen DeFalco and Mike North and the guys from PropSwap.
Will there be a commissioner of your fantasy team seminar?
There should be.
Okay.
I will be putting that on. And then we're going to have a watch party. The Bears play at noon that day. Bears and Bills. So we should be getting a lot of Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky for the Bills. And then you'll be able to draft and we'll place you in a league. All for $20. You get all of that. We'll all be there. Waddle and I, Black and Abdallah, all your favorites from ESPN 1000. Buy your tickets right now at ESPNChicagoFFC.com. That's ESPNChicagoFFC.com. If anything's on your mind regarding the Bears, regarding the Rodgers situation, with them being back and competing with the Bears again, whether it's about our Cubs or our White Sox, 312-332-3776. This started when we were 15 shows away from the Bears reporting to camp.
That's right. We did this as a countdown to the Bears' first practice.
Yes.
That was a great idea on your behalf. And this was just not some sloppy fly-by-night power rankings list of the top 15 players.
It's not what we're about.
No, I think you had a great idea when you said, hey, why don't we count down the 15 most important players in the upcoming season? And me and Black and Abdallah all looked at you and go, that's a great idea.
Sort of.
With that said, we are now down to the final two. Today, your number two most important player in the upcoming 2021 season. And we go back to the defensive side of the ball for one final time. And knowing that this is player number two, that should mean that this is an obvious selection. And so apropos, considering the news up north with Aaron Rodgers coming back to be a member of the Green Bay Packers, Number two most important players in the upcoming season is Khalil Mack. This will mark his fourth season as a Bear. Would love to see him return to 2018 form. Not sure that will happen, but he can still be a dominant player and can still and needs to be the cornerstone of this defense. Failed to register double-digit sacks in each of the last two seasons, but still an elite pass rusher. And depending on the metric you use or the place that is distributing the analytics, still a top three, top five pass rusher when it comes to getting to the quarterback and win rate with regard to pass rush situations. I think you've heard me say this quite a bit in recent times. I think they'd be wise to give him more of a breather this year at times than they have in the past. Whether it's his age, he's over 30. He's been dinged up because he plays his ass off every single snap, and he plays pretty much 95 to 100% of the defensive snaps. I think that they would be wise to watch his snap counts a little bit closer. If this is going to be a top 10 defense again, it's going to be because Khalil Mack is leading the way. So with all that said, don't need to add much more. Khalil Mack is the number two most important player, the second most important player in the upcoming 2021 season.
Yeah, he does a lot of things well, but you want to say at the end of the year, that's why we pay Khalil Mack the big bucks, yes. Right? I mean, like, leave no doubt how good you are.
He was special. I believe he was Defensive Player of the Year in 2018. 2019, I think his sack total dropped down to like 8.5. Last year, I think it was 9. And again, sacks don't tell the entire story.
Right.
It's quarterback pressures. It's how you affect a game plan. It's how you do a lot of things. He is an elite-level player. Like to see him, you know, get back to 2018 form. If it doesn't happen, I still believe even if he's not that good, he can still be one of the top five players in this league on that side of the football. So we need to see him get out there and do his thing.
Yeah, you need to, especially you don't know what you're getting from Quinn, what's Hicks going to bring you this year.
Yeah.
So good stuff. 312-332-3776.
Tomorrow.
Number one.
Number one.
Is
the
it
most
Andy
important?
Dalton?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not telling you.
I don't think it's a layup. I don't believe this is a layup.
The most important player in the upcoming 2021 Bears season will be unveiled tomorrow, according to me.
All right, be listening for that. Chase on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chase?
What's up, fellas?
Everything's good.
Hey, you guys see me when I was waving at you last week?
Yes. Yes, we did. Outside the first Midwest Bank Studios here on State Street.
We gave you a shout-out. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't even hear it.
Oh, come on. We did.
No, I didn't hear it, but it was two things I want to say. Well, actually, three. Well, first, I would say is I'll be seeing you guys on Friday, too, by the way.
All right.
So, you coming to Oak Forest?
Yeah. I'm going to pay you guys a visit and say I actually need a Waddle autograph, too.
Okay.
So
I'll be there for that.
Chase is coming out to Oak Forest Bowl, 15240 South Cicero Avenue. Waddle and I will be broadcasting live from 2 to 6 there. Brought to you by Miller Time. So join us. It's going to be outdoors. It's supposed to be a nice day, too. Oak Forest Bowl on
going to get
Friday.
Our sweat on.
No, not.
Yeah, we are going to be out there playing volleyball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chase.
Yeah. Silver, you're funny when you get irritated, too, by the way. But
what's so funny about me getting irritated?
You and Cap both funny when y'all get irritated, though. But now I was saying about the Rodgers thing. You know, I'm probably one of few people that's really not too worried or disappointed because I feel like we finally got a court. I think if Fields turns out to be what we hope he be, like let's say he does start and he plays well, I think finally we got a quarterback now that can go toe to toe with the Packers. You know, I think that was the problem. The reason why we couldn't beat Green Bay because we had crap quarterback. So I think that the fact that we hopefully have a quarterback now, you know, we shouldn't really be. I'm not afraid of the Packers. I think because I want to beat them. I want to beat the Packers. I want to beat Rodgers. I don't want to beat him and then, you know, when he's not there. I'd rather beat him with a full strength so we can say, yeah, we beat Rodgers. You know, I just feel like I'd rather play them at full strength and so there'll be no excuses. That's just me. I just prefer to play them. I feel like we got a quarterback now that can, you know, go toe-to-toe with him. That's just my opinion.
You want to hear
I wish he moved to Greece and never played again.
Here's what I want, Chase. I want them to have unsuccessful quarterbacks for 30 straight years so we keep pounding them. I get what you're saying that, yeah, it would be nice if Justin Fields could stand over Aaron Rodgers mano y mano and be better and lead them back. But there's a better chance to beat them if Aaron Rodgers isn't there.
But it's just like when Brett Favre. You remember Brett Favre's last three seasons here, we finally beat him. When Lovie Smith got here, we beat him 5 or 7 years, you know, and we finally beat him, you know. So it's the same thing. It could be the same thing with Rodgers, you know, towards the end. We finally beat him, you know. Now you never know. This might be the year we might actually take him, you know. You just never know. You got to have faith.
Chase, listen, I'm one that has always believed I want to win. So if Aaron Rodgers moves to Europe and doesn't want to play this year, I'd be thrilled. Like, I think he's good for the league. Don't get me wrong. When it's the Packers and the Chiefs and it's Mahomes versus Rodgers, like, I get geared up for that. But as a Bears fan, I want him the hell out of Green Bay.
Right. I want them to revisit their quarterback issues from the 80s.
Yeah, I want them to go through the same hell that we've gone through.
When they had a bunch of quarterbacks who sucked.
Listen, I get when people say, I want to beat the best. To be the best, I got to beat. No, I just want to win. I just want to win. If all of the Packers get lost on the way to the stadium from their team hotel and they don't show up until 15 minutes after the end of the game, I'm cool with that. Just want to win.
Yeah, give me a Lynn Dickey again. You know what I mean? I don't want.
I'm sure we can arrange for you to get yourself a Lynn Dickey.
Give me a Lynn Dickey.
Chris, can you see about getting him a Lynn
Dickey? What? At the Sizzler?
Give me a David Whitehurst from the late 70s.
Is that what they're calling it now?
Give me a Randy White. Give me those guys instead
of Randy White, the Hall of Fame defensive tackle from
Randy
the Dallas.
Randy Wright. Did I say White?
Yeah.
Randy Wright.
Yeah.
Give me one of those guys.
Even take a Magic Man.
Yeah. As long as if they call him over the line, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Don't reverse the call.
No.
I don't need another Bart Starr, another Brett Favre, or another Aaron Rodgers. No. Give me a Lynn Dickey. I don't know how dicks work.
As I told you a little bit earlier, I'm scarred the same way I tell you that.
How about a Jim Zorn? Can I get Jim Zorn starting for them again?
Late stage Jim Zorn. Not early Jim Zorn as he's, you know, doing his thing for Seattle. It's the same way I'll be late for the Tom Brady football funeral. I'm going to be late for the, hey, Jordan Love sucks rally as well.
Why?
I just am.
What has Jordan Love ever done?
I don't know.
Just because he's wearing a Packer uniform?
Like I said, you go ahead and dance on who Jordan Love is going to be as a Packer if you want. I'm going to wait to watch him suck before I start to giggle.
But I get it with Brady because it's Brady. I get it with Rodgers because it's Rodgers. Just because he's wearing that uniform doesn't mean that you should be late to the party.
Been scarred. Yeah. How do you know? You don't know if Jordan Love's going to stink. I will celebrate when I see Jordan Love stink with my own eyes. That's when I will celebrate. I will celebrate when Aaron Rodgers leaves, but it will be a mild celebration until I have confirmation that Jordan Love stinks. I don't think that's unreasonable.
How would a poll question go if I polled the question, would you rather have the Packers not have Aaron Rodgers or the Bears try to beat Aaron Rodgers? Not guaranteed. Do you think a lot of the people would vote for beating Aaron Rodgers over not having Aaron Rodgers? No, I think the majority.
The majority is going to go for having Aaron Rodgers out of your life.
Yes, that's what I want.
But there will be some. Again, there will be some that like to tell you that, like Chase said, Chase wants to beat the best. I want him gone.
All right, let's get to
not
some
Chase. I want Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Chase is good. We'll see him at Oak Forest Bowl. All right, I saw Jesse yesterday. I believe he asked Tony La Russa the question on why he did not double switch when he brought Kopech in yesterday. That's an under-the-radar thing. Then we'll talk trades on the south side and the north side, and is Anthony Rizzo possibly headed back to where it all began in Boston? We'll get to Jesse next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Getting into some of these trade rumors, conversations. First, I want to play you this as we intro Jesse. Yesterday, Buster Olney was on ESPN on Sunday Night Baseball where the White Sox were playing the Brewers, and they were talking trade possibilities, and he dropped this. This surprised me regarding Anthony Rizzo and some of the other Cubs possibilities.
I think Anthony Rizzo is going to wind up with the Boston Red Sox. I think the Mets are going to wind up with one of three guys, Chris Bryant or Trevor Story or Javier Baez. I think Tyler Anderson is going to be traded by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mets potentially could be a fit there. San Diego Padres also out in the marketplace looking for a starting pitcher.
Wow, one of those big-ticket Cubs going to the Mets. Now we're talking about blockbusters coming in the next week.
Yeah, and I think an example of that right now would be the Red Sox players, because they saw Tampa Bay go out and make that big deal for Nelson Cruz to get that one hitter who's absolutely perfect in the middle of their lineup, and they're having a great season. They know they got Chris Sale coming back. He looks tremendous, but they could use some bullpen help, and they could use some help at first base. Anthony Rizzo checks every box. He's a left-handed hitter, which they need. He would help the defense. He would help the pitching. And you know that his heart rate in October would be 60 instead of 160.
That was interesting. And let's bring in Jesse Rogers, brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Jesse, it's the 26th. The deadline's the 31st. The Cubs still have a handful of players that you would think are in trade conversations. Wouldn't you think that some news should be coming down shortly on one of them?
Absolutely. It's starting to heat up for sure. I really think Craig Kimbrel is you know, top priority right now. That's where Jed's going to really get the best return. And so I think he's going to go sooner rather than later. I think Chris Bryant could be behind him. Let's start with Kimbrel. I think those teams out west could really use him, and Jed could get a haul from one of them, because there's an arms race out there. San Diego, Dodgers, San Francisco, especially the Dodgers and Padres, they need relievers. They need a guy like Kimbrel. He's a finishing touch for a World Series contender. So I expect Kimbrel to go pretty soon. It could be today, could be tomorrow, within the next few days. I told you at the All-Star break, I wasn't sure about Chris Bryant past the New York Mets. I think things have heated up more than just the Mets. I think there's long shots out there like San Francisco, the Phillies. And think about this. I heard this over the weekend. The New York Yankees might look at Chris Bryant to play center field if they can't get a deal done with the Marlins for Starling Marte. So, yes, things are starting to heat up. I think the bigger names are going to go first. Then come Friday, I think you'll see Thursday, Friday, a flurry of maybe some of the smaller names. But, you know, the Rizzo thing is interesting. I don't think he'll go anywhere except for maybe Boston. I give it less than a 50% chance he even goes there. I have not seen a Red Sox scout around the Cubs over the last week or so. That doesn't mean it can't happen. I just have not seen anybody up close watching Rizzo.
Well, that's good news.
That's my update.
If no one was scouting Rizzo, that's probably good news for the Cubs to make a trade, because I don't know if they would have liked what they've seen.
Right, and that's why I wonder, you know, wouldn't they want to be here? He hasn't performed very well. Yes, you can watch him on tape and stuff, but you really need scouts in the stands. Let me go through the teams that have been here to update you guys over the last week. It's been the Yankees, the Mets, the Rays, the White Sox, both in St. Louis and at Wrigley Field, the Blue Jays, the Padres, and the Phillies. Those are the known teams that have been around the Cubs over the last week.
Interesting. What are you hearing about Baez and the interest in Baez, Jess?
I don't think he's going anywhere. I just don't. I really think he is probably going to come back. I think he's going to sign sometime August, September, maybe even October before he gets to free agency. I know both sides would like it to happen. Javi's not one of these guys that is dying to get to free agency to see what he can get. Look, there's a lot of shortstops out there. He could get lost in the shuffle as soon as teams look at that on-base percentage. I think it's best for him to come back, and I think it works for the Cubs if they get him at the right price. Remember, they want a retool, not a rebuild. How about Wilson Contreras, Javi Baez, Nico Horner up the middle? That's a good foundation for a retool. So I don't hear much about Baez out in the market, Tommy.
By the way, the great Nico Horner still is waiting for his first home run of the year.
Well, look, he's not here to do that. Selby, that's what Javi's here for. It's a good combination. Javi gets the swing and miss and the home runs. Nico makes the contact but doesn't have the slug. And remember, it's his first full year, so hopefully that comes with time. Most of the time, those contact hitters, if they're any good, develop some power.
No. When you see Chafin give up three earned runs, do you start to get a little bit nervous that they need to make this trade sooner rather than later?
It's a great question. I talked to an executive over the weekend. I asked him the two scenarios about the trade deadline. What if for 3 months you got a guy going well, in the last month or 2 weeks he's not doing well, and then the opposite, right? You struggle, and then in July you come on strong. And the answer was you have to dig deep into what is causing the change. What is causing Chafin's problems? Is he injured would be the first question. I don't think so. I haven't heard anything like that. Is it just his time to struggle a little bit because every reliever eventually does? If that's the case, then teams will look past it. If there's something mechanically, then teams might worry a little bit about it because, you know, there's not a lot of time to fix a guy in August when you're in a pennant race. But to go back to your question, yeah, I think they'd rather trade him sooner rather than later because right now he's struggling, and the last thing you want to see is like two more struggling appearances before Friday. It's kind of a toss-up exactly, you know, what teams think of Chafin, though I think his big body of work will be more telling than the struggles he's had lately.
Jesse Rogers joining us. To the south side, Jesse, I am setting the total at 3 as to the amount of acquisitions Rick Hahn gets. My guess is 2 relievers and a position player. Would you go over or under that?
I think you're exactly right. I think that's exactly what he's going to do. I'm still on the lefty, Escobar. I mean, second base is the opening. Look, they could do right field, but second base is the real opening. And Escobar checks all the boxes. He provides some slug for them. Here's a great stat I mentioned on Baseball Tonight. Now, it's not completely scientific, but I still think it works. Against plus 500 teams and against those right-handed pitchers, the White Sox ranked 29th in OPS this year. I'm talking about right-handers they've faced against plus 500 teams. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
The Woodruff, the Burns, the Peraltas. Now, again, it's not completely scientific, but still, there's a lot of bad teams that rank higher than them against good pitching, against good right-handers. I've said this since January. I think they need more slug from the left side. Escobar checks the box if you're looking just at second base. Now, if you want to go to right field, Joey Gallo would check that box. That's a bigger trade. I don't think he's going to end up there. So I'm sticking with Escobar or another lefty second baseman that's not going to cost that much. He, again, checks a lot of boxes. I'd be worried. I mean, this weekend, look, they needed Lance Lynn to drive in 2 runs to avoid a sweep, right? And those were 3 right-handed pitchers. Granted, 3 of the best in the National League. But this has been a little bit of a trend all season against the White Sox.
And that bullpen, Jesse, which a lot of people thought would be the strength, they still have some, you know, Crochet and Kopech, and Liam Hendricks has lived up to everything. But they need to fortify that thing, especially when in a close game. You saw a couple of games early in the series get out of hand because the bullpen couldn't keep it close.
Not only that, I think yesterday and your question about La Russa's double switch is telling. Think about that. He really only had faith in 2 pitchers, both of his righties, Kopech, and then, of course, Liam Hendricks with a big boy save. Liam Hendricks threw 100.5 miles per hour on a strikeout pitch to Urias, the fastest pitch he's ever thrown. That was a big-time save. But think about that. He went to Hendricks for 2 innings, brought Kopech back for a second, and then pulled him because he didn't trust his lefties, in my opinion. He didn't say that outwardly. But I think yesterday was telling. He didn't want to bring in Crochet because he was worried about the 3 batter minimum. He didn't want to bring in Bummer for the same reason. I think yesterday was telling to Rick Hahn, hey, I need a lefty, I need a righty, and as you mentioned, I think the position play. I think 3 is a good number between now and Friday for the White Sox. And you're right, 2 key guys in the bullpen that can get the ball to Hendricks so we're not seeing 6 out saves down the stretch.
But, Jess, why wouldn't Tony still double switch? Why would he allow Kopech to bat, considering Kopech has struggled with a hamstring earlier in the year?
Okay, the way he explained it was a long-winded answer. He knew what he was doing, at least in hindsight he says this. I don't know for sure. But he said that the plan wasn't to bring Kopech back, but at the point where the Brewers were in the lineup, he decided after the inning, okay, I'm going to have Kopech face at least 1 guy, try to get 1 or 2 outs in that 8th, and then bring Liam Hendricks in. If Kopech had gone 1, 2, 3, they would have pinch hit for Kopech. But I guess at that point in the Brewers lineup, I'm not sure who led off the 8th inning, he actually wanted to go back to him. And that's what I'm saying. He did not have faith in any other reliever other than Kopech or Liam Hendricks.
Wait. So you're telling me that if Kopech had a smoother inning and was more dominant and went 1-2-3, then he only would have went one. But after he struggled a bit and guys were hitting the ball hard and he walked a couple of guys because of where they were in the order, he brought him back because of that?
Yes, because he felt like he locked in towards the end of that inning. You're not wrong. It is weird. This is what he's saying. Now, you know, whether we believe him or not, that's our call. You could play the audio. But he said he locked in late in the inning, even though he did struggle, you're right, and then they decided because of where the Brewers were to bring him back and just try to reduce the outs for Liam Hendricks. He was ready to give 4 or 5 out save to Liam Hendricks.
Right.
It turned into a 6 out save because Kopech struggled to start that 8.
All Waddle was bringing up is there's no reason for Kopech to ever bat. Ever.
Never.
So if you're in a National League park and the pitcher is leading off and there's a chance Kopech may go for more than one, then you make that double switch. You make it when the pitcher is leading off.
I can't disagree with you. Remember Madden with Pedro Strop ended up batting?
Yes.
You know, this is twice this year. Liam Hendricks on the base pass and Kopech at the plate. Those are two of your key relievers. You're right. I can't argue with you. It was a little convoluted how it played out. At least he had a reason for it, even if it didn't make a ton of sense in the moment. And I think the bigger issue is he didn't want to go to any other reliever. I think that's important to note as well.
All right, Jesse, any other nuggets?
Well, I think Tapera is going to be gone. The White Sox have been looking at him. I'm not saying they're going to get him. I think Chafin's going to be gone. I think Kimbrel's going to be gone. I think KB's going to be gone now. I was a little, you know, soft on that earlier. I think he's really helped his cause lately. This last week, KB's looked really good at the plate. But I do think it's the Mets there. I think it's the Padres or Dodgers for Kimbrel. I think could be the White Sox for Tapera. And Chafin actually could be the Phillies, could be a bunch of places because lefties are coveted. So that's my up-to-the-minute update for you.
All right, let's react to that coming up next. Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys.
A lot there from Jesse. I want to talk a little bit about that. And like, how would Cubs fans feel about them trading Anthony Rizzo? Would that sting more than the others? 312-332-3776.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I haven't brought up the poll results either. We got into work today and said, boy, this is going to be a fantastic week. We've got football returning, the Bears report tomorrow, the start of the Justin Fields era.
Really, Aaron Rodgers is going to report to Packers camp.
Yeah, that basically has happened today. And then all these baseball trades. Like we talked about, the White Sox should acquire at least 3 new players. I think 2 pitchers and a position player is needed. A hitter
I'll sign
is needed
up for that.
And the Cubs could trade all these different guys. So at first I had the poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers: is what are you more excited for this week? And Waddle's like, when teams sell, are you really excited? So Waddle said, what are you more interested in this week? So I listened to Waddle. I posted it that way. And are you surprised if I tell you that 3,600 people have voted that they're more interested in what our Chicago baseball teams are going to do trade deadline? Pretty significant. 60.7%, 39.3% on the Bears reporting to camp.
Maybe part of that is influenced by Matt Nagy saying there's no chance Justin Fields starts in week one. So the training camp will not have that quarterback intrigue attached to it.
Right, until they start playing too. It's kind of like when pitchers and catchers report, you're like, all right, what else is going on in camp? You know what I mean? And I was saying this to Black, that the moves the White Sox could make could significantly impact them in the postseason.
Yeah.
The moves the Cubs can make can significantly affect them with their retool or rebuild or whatever. You know, I mentioned with both of these teams, you traded Adam Eaton and you got back Lucas Giolito. You traded Chris Sale and you got back Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech. Think about all these moves you made when you were retooling and resetting. With the Cubs, I've always told you they made that Ryan Dempster deal. It was the second deal that they wanted to make with Dempster. They originally wanted to send him to Atlanta. Even with the second deal, you still were able to land Kyle Hendricks. You make the Samardzija deal for Addison Russell. You make the Feldman deal for Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop. Those all shaped the future of the Cubs. And if you play it right, Craig Kimbrell could shape the future of the Cubs. You can get a player or two who are a part of your next really good team.
By the way,
and vice versa.
And this will define Jed Hoyer as well as the general manager of this team.
For sure.
I mean, you're trading the assets that were instrumental in you winning the World Series for the first time better than 100 years. You were Theo's right-hand man. Now you are Theo. And now you're entrusted in rebuilding this program, and you're going to trade those guys. This will define Jed Hoyer.
It's like that Batman-Robin conversation with basketball players. We're always like, hey, can the Robin be the Batman? It was Jed. Like, as much as Jed and he's done well with the Cubs, we don't know which moves were his and which moves were Theo. But I think there are still Cubs fans who need to see what he can do.
I would say that this is the defining moment in Jed's career as a Chicago Cubs front office guy.
For sure. Ken in Fort Worth, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, guys, doing great. Hey, as we talk about Baez, he's the one Cub, even though he's so exciting, I don't know how his game's going to age well, as well as others, because he's so dependent on athletic ability, and he just doesn't do enough putting the ball in play, runners in scoring position especially. And with all the shortstops on the market, wouldn't that be a way to get something in return and have a options to replace them going forward next year?
Yes, I agree with you. Unless he takes some huge hometown discount, I'm open to playing the shortstop market and see where you land.
Yeah, if he wants the money they're talking about, I'd much rather invest in a Trevor Story or someone more consistent, because that's what's been the breakdown of the Cubs lineup, is the everyone's hitting or everyone stops at the same time without putting enough balls in play, and he's sort of the center of that, you know, dilemma.
Yeah.
Could I interest you in a Javi Baez at third, Carlos Correa at short, and Nico Hoerner at second?
I've thrown that at you before. Yeah, I mean, I've said to you that Javi can play third. Yeah.
I would be very interested in that if he takes the right number.
Right.
Very much so.
Of course.
That's where, like, with Chris Bryant leaving and you have David Bodie there, Bryant's played mostly outfield this year anyway. But, yeah, I mean, if you take Javi, you could do that. You could then play the shortstop
game.
If
you can get Javi at your price. Again, you still have to fill out the lineup card on a daily basis.
Right.
You've got to find players that can fill roles. You just don't want to pay Javi $30 million
a year. Where's your line for Javi? Where's your line, the highest you go for Javi?
It's a great question. I'll start with asking a question. What do you believe the top shortstops will get on the free agent market? What does a Carlos Correa get in free agency in 2021 at the end of the season? I don't even – what's the market? Like, I could go to spot check.
Is it what Machado got? I mean –
Didn't Tatis Jr. and Acuna set the market last year?
But they're younger, right? These guys are older when they're hitting the market. So
Bogarts is getting, what is it? I'm trying to see here. Bogarts is getting $20 million. I got Lindor listed at 22, but that's prior to his extension.
And how many years did he get? Yeah, he got a ton of years, didn't he? And they're almost regretting it in the first year.
Like Brandon Crawford, who's a good shortstop. He's 34.
Right, and he's a free agent.
He's making $15 million a year. So, I mean, Javi currently is making 11.6. Do you get Javi between 17 million a year? Is he going to get more than that on the open market?
I don't know. Like, you could talk me into Javi at 17 a year.
Right.
Like, that 20 is is he 20?
Which is crazy, because there was a time when we were all talking about Javi Baez getting 20, you know, $200 million.
Right, right.
Those days are gone.
Right. I've got some really good audio to play you from the NFL. Jerry Jones talked to Jerry Jones today. I'm told this is very funny. We've always had fun with Jerry Jones audio. And then we got to talk about that Tom Brady video. I texted you. You didn't respond to my text this weekend about the Tom Brady video.
I was busy playing tennis with my wife.
That's right. And you were busy
and did you
choking.
Ask, I saw it. You asked whether or not I thought it was real.
Right.
That's not worth a response.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, now I'm not worth a response.
Well, no, that stupid question, because you knew that wasn't
all
real.
All right, well, that's why I sent it out to you. I just wanted to pick your brain.
Don't get all sensitive on me now.
Hey, look, your wife, you choked against your wife in
tennis.
I
did.
Yeah?
I admitted it. It was
maybe
my bad and the good, bad, and dirty.
We'll play you all that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Did you hear Jerry Jones, too? I saw the clip of it over the weekend, I think it was. I just watched Dak have his best practice I've ever seen. In all the years of Dak being here, I just saw him practice.
I think that what is Hard Knocks is now what, 5 episodes is all it is? And it's the Cowboys this year.
It didn't debut yesterday. It's next week, right?
I don't think so, yeah. I think it's next. But that's something I'll watch.
I'm in.
Yeah, I'll watch Hard Knocks with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones.
I heard Mellor talking about it recently. It is very... It follows this formula, right? They pick a couple of stars they follow, and then there's always one dude who's trying to make the team who they sort of follow, and then they'll show the cuts and everything like that. But they have a lot of star power on that team, especially on offense. So as much as I get sick of a lot of Cowboys coverage, I think they're an interesting team with Dak coming back from injury, with Ezekiel Elliott looking to recapture the dominance that he had in the past.
Remember that Cowboy defense was a disaster last year.
Uh-huh.
So that needs to improve. And I mean, Jerry Jones is still an interesting character in the NFL.
So he has his own radio show, right? We've played you the clips before.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have time to jack with you. Isn't that what he said? It's so great. Some of the losses when Jerry Jones talks. Meantime, like Ryan Pace, like talks one time. I'm fired up. We can't wait to go.
You're going to get that tomorrow.
Matt are talking tomorrow. Yeah. I can't wait for the word salad. This is Jerry Jones on 96.7 The Ticket. And I guess he's on the air. Then they had a fake Jerry Jones call in. Take a listen.
Hi, you're on with Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys.
Good morning, Mr. Jones. I'm a big fan of everything you do. Everything you do.
Do you know who this is?
Ownership of the Dallas Cowboys, and I love your GMing even more, though, I have to say. I have a bravo Eugenia's worth of respect for you, and I think that the Cowboy fans are lucky to have you. And that's some real positivity there.
Well, let me just say this. I wish I could sound like me as well as you sound like me.
We're having fun here.
I'd love to hear you in some of those soft moments when we're get somebody to have. Do you have that part of you?
Do you Mr. have Jones, that?
You know how to say
always...
hey baby, this is what it's like to be with a man. You know how to talk like that?
Hey baby, this is what it's like to not only be with a man,
it's Jerry,
but a billionaire man. A billionaire man. Hey, baby, come on over here. Let me tell you the Arkansas Owls and Chicken story.
Where did Jerry go? Where did Jerry go with that? Did Jerry calling Jerry, then the next thing you know, he wanted him to talk dirty to him?
I think so.
Is that what Jerry Jones wanted, fake Jerry to talk dirty?
It's going
to
be a good year in Dallas.
That's why Hard Knocks is going to be good.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're going to get.
I've already seen video of him like walking around almost like he's a coach with like a whistle around his neck and like one of those oversized sweatshirts. You know, like, oh.
He had a whistle?
I thought he had something. He had also like one of those game plans in the plastic covers so he could follow along and
practice.
That's
a menu. Come on. Are they going to get, we got to get Jerry Jones on his yacht behind the scenes. Don't we have to get a Hard Knocks a scene with Jerry Jones on that big yacht?
Where's Jerry keep the yacht?
I don't know where the well.
I don't know where the water is.
No, they're in Oxnard, California.
Oh, that's right.
Don't you remember? Where yes. is? I don't know where Oxnard is. Where
is it in Northern California?
I don't know. Look at us talking geography now. Where is Oxnard? Where's in Oxnard, Hold California? On. Isn't that sort of weird with Texas being the football capital of the world? They go to California to train?
Oxnard, I believe, is a seaside city west of Los Angeles.
Okay, maybe it's because he wants a place to put his yacht
maybe
in the water.
Maybe put his yacht there.
Isn't that how they talk? Got to put the yacht in the water?
I don't know. I've never had a
Time
yacht.
Time to put the yacht in the water?
No, I don't know. Is that code for something?
No.
Hey, Jerry, it's time to put the yacht in the water.
And then there was the Tom Brady video. It was going around the internet all weekend.
You're right. I did. I apologize for ignoring your text from yesterday.
Because we've always said that the things that he sends out, his team, not him, he's got a really good social media team. Yes. He's got a social media team like some of these franchises have.
Yeah.
Like he probably has a whole social media department working for him.
I'm sure. And his stuff has been good lately.
And then there was one recently where it was obviously fake. He threw the football and it made it look like it went to the moon or something like that. Or there was an explosion
was
in the sky. Yeah.
Okay.
But so he's been doing these fake videos, but this one involved the jugs machine, and it's usually
you can't throw a football into a jugs machine,
and then and right like stuck. It went perfectly into the jugs machine, then went back to him, then he did it again, then he dropped back 10 more yards, and as for the mic drop, he threw it in there one more time, knocked the jugs machine over, and the football popped up in the air.
Yeah.
But that is all editing that cannot be done. Right?
Yes.
Right.
Just make it
sure. I wanted to confirm what my mind did leave.
Yes. Find that to be virtually impossible to do.
If given 100 throws, could he ever make it work once?
I don't think that you could. No, I don't think so. I don't think you could do that.
You can't get the football stuck
in
the jugs machine.
I'm going to say 100% no. 100. Maybe Aaron Rodgers could.
We're going to see him again. That's the top story of the day. Rodgers is going to be back with the Packers. Shefty's had that all afternoon, as that has been.
2021 football season hasn't even begun here in Chicago, and it's the worst day of the year.
Well, and then to make things even worse, now we've got Davante Adams, who wants to reopen negotiations with the Packers that broke off a few days ago.
Yeah, which means, you know, listen, maybe Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers are back in 2022 as well.
As long as Justin Fields is good, one step at a time.
Okay.
You know, I was hoping for the best here with the Rodgers thing. I didn't get my wish.
No, you did not.
Sox fans get their wish tonight. Aloy is back. And again, I saw Connor McKnight, who's got the pregame coming up at 6:30 after Bleck does his show. A lot of people are resistant to Aloy playing left field.
I am one of them.
Well, he's DHing tonight. Tomorrow he's in left field. Yeah. Connor is saying that, look, you got to let him play a little bit. That when Grandal comes back, he's going to need to DH some. You got to take Abreu off his feet and DH him some. You have a 9-game lead, and you've got to trust Aloy that he's not going to hurt himself out
as
in
long
the
as
field.
He's been given the instructions to not do anything silly. And I do not believe that when you get into crunch time, you want him out there because he's a defensive liability. Vaughn has been, I won't even say surprisingly, but Vaughn has been solid in left field. Not spectacular,
right,
but solid.
For a first baseman, right?
Yeah.
We always thought, okay, he's a DH or a first baseman. He's shown you
he's
in his rookie
solid.
Year that he could play left field.
Yeah.
All right, so a lot going on. And don't forget, on Friday we're going to be at Oak Forest Bowl. So text your buddies. Come out and see us on Friday. It's going to be Miller time. We've got White Sox tickets to give away and also a Bears cooler. A lot to go over tomorrow as the Bears report to camp. So much to get to.
Football is here.
Football is here. Thanks to Sean and Chris. Bleck is coming up here in 2 short minutes. And then we've got White Sox pregame at 6:30 from Kansas City. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.